This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. There was a time in the 1980s and 90s when so-called midnight basketball leagues were seen as a promising tool to give young, at-risk men a productive use of their time. But after a few years, the leagues fell out of favor.
Now, a new midnight basketball league is serving a distinct Milwaukee population, though the games are not actually all at the stroke of midnight. The Midnight League, which draws people from around the city to its games in the Walker's Point neighborhood, is the subject of a feature in the January issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Contributing writer Rich Revito joins us in the studio to share the story. Nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Mitch.
So who is this league for?
There have traditionally been midnight basketball leagues. A lot of them are geared toward high school students to give them something to do, keep them out of trouble. This is quite a bit different. This is geared toward men ages 17 to 25 who are in that age group where a lot of my sources here were telling me they're extremely vulnerable. They haven't figured out life yet. They've now gotten away from the structure of high school, the day-to-day structure of high school. Many of them don't really know what the next phase in life brings for them. So they're vulnerable and susceptible to the ills of the street and violence and things along those lines. So this is a way to get these guys into a structured environment. There's games at 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night at Bradley Tech High School in Walker's Point. You know, these are for guys that are dealing with unemployment, underemployment, and a variety of other social ills. What's unique about this whole league is that each participant is required to take part in the enrichment programs that are offered each night. So it's not just about playing basketball. There's programs. One of the nights I was there, I sat in on the enrichment program, and it was put on by MATC. MATC instructor Larry Burton was there. He's very forceful and energetic, and he was telling these guys that, you know, I know you're here to play basketball, you love basketball, but you got to take a look at your life and where you go next. So he spoke about the educational offerings at MATC. There's also sessions on fatherhood and child support services, healthcare, mentoring, all sorts of things. So these guys play a game, and then they're required immediately afterward to go sit in on these sessions. And you get what you probably expect. There's some guys that are paying attention and some that aren't, some that truly want to just be there to play basketball. And, you know, in a lot of cases, these guys are just looking to escape the violence that's in their neighborhoods, even if it's only for a few hours a night. And what you'll find too is that a lot of these guys will stick around. They won't just stay there for their game in the session. They'll stay and watch their friends play. And a lot of guys will show up a little before 8 and stay right through midnight. So it's kind of like a 4-hour reprieve of what's going on in their neighborhoods.
Well, so for the organizers, why was it so important not just to speak or to work specifically with this population, but to exclude high school students from it?
I just think because high school students are getting structure in another way. I think a lot of these guys get lost after they leave school. And some of them do have jobs. I talked to a young man named David Hughes who graduated from Bradley Tech. He went to college, got a college degree. He works at Bradley Tech counseling kids that are in trouble in school. And he told me that it just because he graduated from college doesn't mean that he's not still susceptible to the ills plaguing certain areas of Milwaukee. And he said, you know, he was there. I went 4 or 5 times and he was there every night. And he's about ready to age out of this thing because he's 25 years old. But he just thought that this gave him a safe outlet to do something.
So how does this league relate to the multitude of midnight basketball leagues that cropped up, you write, during, you know, George H.W. Bush's administration and continued on through the Clinton administration?
Yeah, it was really popular at one point and was getting a lot of funding. It then became a political hot potato. It was part of Bill Clinton's crime bill, and it became divided politically. And the questions were raised about whether or not midnight basketball leagues actually had any definitive impact.
Right. Was there any data that showed anything?
And there were arguments that there was no clear data showing that these had any positive effect. Way too early to tell since this just kicked off here. But I did talk to some folks at MPD who are saying that, you know, even if there aren't hard, fast statistics here, these kids are off the street for these 4 or 5 hours each night. They're not in trouble during that time, and they're learning how to behave. If they have outbursts on the court, they're suspended for a game. And a lot of these guys, like I said, they're there to play basketball. That's what they want to do. And if that's taken away from them, then there's some punishment there. But you know, even absent the statistics, I think that there's some good things that come about with this program, especially if you're offering these corresponding enrichment programs as well.
You mentioned the Milwaukee Police Department. At least one member of the MPD has gotten really involved in the league, right?
Yes. MPD has a presence there. There's officers in uniform, and they're interacting with the guys that come in each night. But I spoke with this gentleman, Sergeant Delmar Williams, who's actually serving as a volunteer coach as well. So you've got the formal setup. You got MPD, the Milwaukee Public Schools, the City of Milwaukee, the Running Rebels Community Organization, and the Milwaukee Bucks are all involved in this program. And then you've got a core of paid staff like Matt Goodwin from MPS that's there each and every night making sure things are running smoothly. And then you've got guys like Sergeant Williams that are there as volunteers coaching these guys. And again, it's not all about basketball, coaching them on the court, but also coaching them in life a little bit as well.
And there are, do I gather, 3 seasons worth of games?
There are. There are 3 10-week sessions. There were about close to 90 guys participating in the recently completed, I guess you would call it the fall session. A winter session is about ready to tip off now. But they've had so much success with this, or at least it's viewed as successful at this point, that there's now a men's and co-ed soccer league that has just started as well with the same setup, 17 to 25 years old, and the enrichment programs involved in that as well.
What does the gym look and feel like on a game night?
Bradley Tech, they call the place the Cave. It is a very cavernous place when the bleachers are pushed back. It's loud. They play music. It's pretty entertaining. Some of the guys' family and friends show up, and again, guys will play the 8 o'clock game and stick around and watch the 9, 10, and 11 o'clock games as well. It's a pretty cool atmosphere. The quality of play on the court.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's all across the board. There's some skilled players out there. There's some not so skilled players out there. There's a little bit of trash talking going on. It's competitive. These guys want to win on the court too. And there's some top quality talent out there. I spoke with this young man named Nate Hubbard, who was a star at Washington High School, went on and played a little bit of college basketball at a community college in northern Michigan. He's got a couple of jobs trying to make his way here, but he's still looking, even at age 21, to try to get back somewhere and play some college basketball, maybe at the junior college level. I talked to Armani Thompson, who went to Pulaski High School, a really skilled player. He, too, is looking to possibly play some college ball somewhere and find a way out of the violence that's plaguing their neighborhoods.
You mentioned outbursts and how players who have outbursts can be suspended for a game. What is behavior like? I mean, basketball can be a pretty intense game.
It is. I did not see anything. The guys were pretty well behaved, and what really impressed me is there was an outburst one night, and it was quelled almost immediately. You could tell that when there's security guards stationed at each corner of the court, there are police officers there, but there's also the guys that are there from MPS and the volunteers that are there, and they deal with these guys a lot. It's not just seeing them on the court. They talk to them afterwards. You see guys walking around with their arms around each other, giving these guys instructions. So when this outburst happened the one night, people rushed. It happened after a game. It was right in the front of the bleachers, and it was over within a matter of seconds because they saw these volunteers, and they you could tell that there was a level of respect there that they just put it aside and worked through it.
You mentioned the one MPD officer who serves as a volunteer coach. Where do the coaches generally come from?
All across the board. There are some from the Running Rebels Community Organization. And MPD, just guys that have stepped up and wanted to take part in this. It's an hour each night coaching these guys, but you see these guys hanging around and mentoring these young men as well.
You mentioned that a soccer league is getting up and running along the same model. Is funding pretty secure for this league?
Looks like it's pretty solid for right now. I think the numbers have been good through this first year. This tipped off last spring, so they've got the 3 sessions in so far. The numbers have been strong. I think everybody's happy with what they've seen so far. There's talk of possibly expanding this to include a north side location, which with some of the guys I talked to, that would be much easier for them because a lot of them were from the north side. They were making their way down to Bradley Tech. I think Bradley Tech was a nice location to start this thing because it's somewhat centralized and somewhat easy to get to. But it seems like the guys would welcome a north side location as well.
Rich, thanks for sharing the story.
Great to be here again, Mitch. Thank you very much.
Rich Rovito's article on the Midnight League is in the January issue of Milwaukee Magazine. You'll find a link and you can see a photo from a recent basketball game at WUWM.com. Girl.